Great to be back. Excuse me. So yeah, as Chris shared, we've had an amazing time while we're over here, and it's really great to be back with you all. And I haven't been up here for a while, and that's because God's been doing a few things in me since last time I preached. Some stuff that needed to be shifted, some stuff that needed to be lifted, and God gets all the glory for that. So I think if we put ourselves in a place of surrender and a place of submission, we can receive all that God has for us. But it's when we try and do things our own way and try to get our own way by stamping our feet and, you know, demanding, we can really, you know, come out of humility and be in a desert place. So my prayer for you today, and I've been praying for you for this weekend, and obviously for the worship team, and you may have experienced today a different level of anointing that flowed out today. And that's because there is a different level of anointing here today. There's a different release here today as well. There's a new season coming upon this church. As we move more towards Christ-like character and maturity, we can't help but be transformed by the renewing of our minds, and also the Spirit that dwells in us is jealous for us. And he doesn't want to leave anyone behind. So I just want to pray over you guys before we start. So if you'd just like to stand up. So I'm just going to pray in the Spirit and just flow from there. So if you want to pray in the Spirit with me. But we're just going to just take this moment to just Yes, we praise you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Release in this place, Lord. Release in this place. Break forth in this place, Lord. Yes, Lord. Release your power. Release your presence, Lord. Lord, I declare a new season over this church and over its people, Lord. Lord, that they would walk in authority, Lord, endued by your power, Lord. Lord, that they would have the grace surrounding them, Lord, to let them walk in all that you have promised them, Lord. Lord, walk in all those things, Lord, that you have for them, Lord. Lord, I come against the enemy who seek to distract them and bind their minds, Lord, to the things, Lord, that are of little worth, Lord, those things that are wood, hay, and stubble, Lord. Lord, that their eyes and their minds will be focused on the glory that's set before them, Lord. Lord, that they'd be able to comprehend, Lord, with all the saints, Lord, of the glorious inheritance that we have in you, Lord. Lord, release your prophetic word in this place today, Lord. Release your power, Lord. May it come. Lord, may chains be broken today, Lord. Lord, I declare, Lord, that the future is bright. The future is pushing forward, Lord, into the things of you, Lord. The future is a deeper intimacy with you, God, Lord. And Lord, I just pray, Father, that those things of the past would no longer come and distract and tear away, Lord, for everything that you have for your people, Lord. Lord, you are pleased with your people, Lord. You love your people, Lord. Lord, I declare your love over your people this morning. Lord, your grace over your people, Lord. Lord, let them receive, Lord. Let them receive, Lord, divine revelation. Let them receive, Lord, a fresh impartation, Lord. Lord, let them receive, Lord, your grace and your mercy towards them, Lord. Lord, that you do not count their sins and trespasses against them, Lord. Lord, that if they surrender to you and humble themselves before you, Lord, you will lift them up, Lord. Lord, lift them to the rock that is higher than themselves, Lord, that they may comprehend everything, Lord, that you have done for them. That they may know with all the saints the hope of your calling, Lord, and what a glorious calling it is in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Grab a seat. Grab a seat. Right. So, as you know, we've been going through the book of Ephesians, and it's really been quite a journey so far. Who's been enjoying it so far? Good. Five of you. Awesome. Well, I tell you, I've been enjoying it. And what I've really been enjoying as well, I suppose, is actually having that break from stepping away from preaching and actually enjoying, like my fellow colleagues preach as well, just sitting under that. I mean, you kind of forget sometimes what it's like to actually just sit under, you know, good teaching and also what God is doing through the congregation and stuff like that. So it's fantastic to be in that place. but as I said, today I want to talk about God's master plan, your inheritance. Your inheritance. Everyone say, I have an inheritance. Declare, I have an inheritance in Christ. I have an inheritance in the kingdom of God. You know that is true? That's the word of God, that is true. But we can only receive that by faith. And I want to take you today to Ephesians chapter 1, and it's verses 11 to 14. And it's really important today. Who knows that when Jesus went to his hometown, he could do no mighty work there? It wasn't a lack on Jesus' part. It was that people didn't bring anyone to him. And those that came to him, he laid a few hands on the sick and they were healed. Because if we read, I think in the Gospel of Luke, it says, all that came to Jesus were healed. It says, everyone that came to Jesus was healed. And yet, in his hometown, he could do no mighty work there. And sometimes we're always looking for somewhere else to see the mighty work and do the mighty work. But I tell you, it's right here now. The mighty work is right here now. It's all here. Jesus is here. You know, he's not at a church down the road. Well, he is, but, you know, he's here for you now, here, in this place. And he can do mighty works right here. You know, those of you struggling with certain things and not shifting in your life, I want to tell you that's a lie from the pit of hell. Jesus can shift everything. God is the God of the impossible, and we only limit him by our limited thinking and our unbelief. And that's what limited it in his hometown, was their unbelief. So, Ephesians chapter 1, verse 11 to 14. Now, I've got it up there on the New King James. but I'm actually going to read from the NIV, so do forgive me. In him, in who? In Jesus. In Jesus, we were also chosen. You were chosen, having been predestined according to the plan of him, Jesus, who works out everything in conformity with the purpose of his will, in order that we who were the first to hope in Christ might be for the praise of his glory. And you were also included in Christ when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. Having believed, you were marked in him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession to the praise of his glory. So it says in the New King James, in him also we have obtained an inheritance. And I think one of the main things is that we need to recognize that you had an inheritance in Adam, okay? We know that we were born from the line of Adam, the lineage of Adam, and our inheritance was death. Our inheritance was cut off from the source of life, which is God. But you now have an inheritance in Christ, which is eternal life. And so when we get this revelation of what this inheritance is, it changes our whole mindset. It changes the mindset that we have. You see, in 1 Peter it says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to his great mercy, he has caused us to be born again, so out of Adam into Christ, again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept in heaven for you, who by God's power are being guarded through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. Who knows we're living in the last times? We're living in the last times. Jesus is coming, guys, and it's closer than it's ever been before. And we have to get hold of this idea of inheritance. You see, the inheritance that we're to receive, you know, can only be obtained in faith. And we have to grow in Christ-like character and maturity to obtain it as well. Because if we read in Galatians, it says, "Now the works of the flesh are evident: sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, rivalries, dissensions, divisions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and things like these. I warn you, as I warned you before, that those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God." Spells it out pretty plainly, doesn't it? When we practice and do those things, we're not inheriting the kingdom of God here. And you see, when we grab a hold of this inheritance, we kind of think that we have to work everything. We have to strive and bite our lips to be better and to work harder and everything. But the first thing we've got to recognize, it's only received by faith. The inheritance is only received by faith. And this is a revelation that God has just been really downloading to me recently, that everything is by faith. It has to be received by faith. And what do I mean by that? Well, for example, when I came to Christ, I was involved, in drugs, alcohol. I was not a very well person. Suffered from anxiety, depression, very overweight. I had heaps of money and got a good job and everything like that, but inside I was bankrupt and destitute. And the point of where it changed for me is when I reached out to God and I said, "I can't do this anymore. Save me." And that was a step of faith. And there's some of you in situations today where you need to make that step of faith. Because it's not working for you. You try and you try and you try and you try with your own might and your own strength, but it fails every time. Because the works of the flesh or the works of the law profit nothing. It's by faith. You see, we read from the life of Abraham that Abraham was a man of faith. He's the father of the faith. And we're to be like him, as we read in Hebrews as well. And it's great that you shared that scripture this morning in Hebrews chapter 11, that Abraham, by faith, received from God. You know, he believed God, and it was counted as righteousness. And the way he demonstrated his belief was by the way he acted and walked. The same with Moses as well. We read with Moses that, he was in Pharaoh's palace. He had everything that you could possibly... I mean, Pharaoh was the king of the known world. You know, he was deemed as a god. And Moses was right there with him. And yet, he left it all. And he received, by faith, what God wanted to do in his life. And so, when we look at this, we have to make a clear distinction before we sort of enter into this place of receiving this inheritance by grace through faith. And that is, we have to realize there's a difference between an inheritance mentality and an entitlement mentality. And I've seen this through many people's journeys where it can be distracted when we take our eye off the inheritance and look towards the entitlement. And we come unstuck. Now, I don't know if you know, I've recently dropped a bit of weight. So about 15 kilos now. I'm feeling lighter. Now, it's really funny because I'm going to break this down so simply, which is a gift, I think, that Chris has. So I bought this this workout DVD set called Tap Out XT. And you've got stretchy bands with it and everything. And it's got like a 90-day program and a booklet that you follow. And, you know, you got a meal planner and all that kind of thing, right? And so I bought this thing. Now, when I bought this, I didn't expect that just by buying it, I would receive that new body that looked on the pictures and everything like that. But somehow, there are people who have all these kind of, you know, fitness devices and everything like that. Like, who's here has owned a, you know, one of those cross trainers? Coat hanger? You know, treadmill? Coat hanger? You know, abscissizer? Just sits in the garage and does nothing because it's no good as a coat hanger. And we actually miss out on actually what it's actually there for. See, I bought the thing in faith that this program, this workout routine and everything could help me to lose weight and strengthen myself. I bought into that, and that's what I received by faith, knowing what I could do. But then there had to be some working out of that faith as well. I actually had to do the work, you know? And when we have an entitlement mentality, it affects all areas of our Christian walk as well. It affects our relationship with God. God is not seen as an inheritance. He's not seen as the actual reason why heaven is heaven. He's actually seen as a genie in a bottle. Who, God, I'm following you, so you best bless me. And some people have become frustrated and upset in their walks because, you know, it didn't deliver what it said on the instructions. But really, they received it by faith, but they didn't put it to work and became like the man who took the talent and buried it. And so it affects multiple different areas with our relationship with God. And I just want to point out a couple. It, as I said, with an entitlement mentality, we see God as a genie. And God is only as good as his last gift. You know, I used to work in an industry where you're only as good as your last sale. But, you know, it's funny, like, we seem to remember, you know, or we seem to focus on what we don't have rather than what we have already. And do you know what you've got inside of you? You have the kingdom of heaven. You have the deposit of the Holy Spirit. You have all things. But it's an inheritance that you need to claim. And so our prayer life becomes focused on ourselves and needs. And it just ends there. It says no man is greater than his prayer life. If your prayer life is just solely focused on you and your entitlements and what you think you should be getting and what you deserve, that's a shame. And then some people with an entitlement mentality believe that service to God entitles them to a blessing. Did it give Jesus a blessing? Gave him suffering to really, truly follow God. We don't have a very good theology of suffering in the church much at the moment, I think. But it's not all doom and gloom. Entitlement mentality, it's all about them. And let's just compare and contrast that to an inheritance mentality. See, inheritance mentality sees God as Father. He's our Father, our Father. And God is good regardless of the circumstances. I love going to Africa because you say, God is good. And they say, all the time. And all the time, God is good. And I love that. That attitude is just beautiful. The prayer life is focused on conforming to Christ and forwarding the kingdom of heaven. That's what the prayer life is focused on inheritance. It's like, God, make me like you. I want to be like you, no matter the cost, whatever it takes, God. Conform me to be like your son. And Lord, use me to bring your glory in this earth. Because as it says, he's given us the nations as an inheritance. He gave it to Jesus. Behold, I'll give you the nations as your inheritance. And we are in him. So it's for you as well. And service flows from knowing your identity and working with the Father. You serve because you love God. And you're actually working in the harvest field with him. And that's why we pray for workers in the harvest field. And ultimately, it's all about him. It's all about him. And so this inheritance mentality versus this entitlement mentality, it can affect our character. We stunt in growth. We become very immature and childish in our dealings, in ourselves personally. And I'm speaking from personal experience, right? I'm not accusing anyone here or anything like that. I'm talking about me. So I have struggled multiple times with impatience, with insecurity, with doubt, with fear, all these things. And it's because my mentality is not right. And so we need to really focus on what this inheritance is all about and how we acquire it. You see, Israel, they were given the promised land. That was the inheritance from God. But they had to go and take that land. And there were enemies in that land as well. Do you remember when the spies came back and they brought a bad report? What happened with that? Went wandering around the desert for a very long time. Are some of you today wandering around in the desert? You feel that? While the promised land is right there. You read it and it's like, why isn't this not in my life, Lord? Maybe you've had a bad report. Maybe you're believing a bad report. But I want to tell you there's a good report in this word. All the promises in Christ are yes and amen. But somehow our circumstances and our situations can sometimes speak louder than the truth of God's word. That's why we have to receive it by faith. And so in your lives, there is an inheritance for you to walk into. There really is. In different areas of your life, in relationships, with family, with friends, in business. Finances, all these different things. But there are enemies there that need to be driven out. But if we're going to grow in Christ-like character and maturity, we need to be equipped to do that and trust in the one who's sending us into those lands. You see, Israel grumbled and complained. That didn't go well for them. And sometimes we can get stuck in that place of grumbling and complaining. They were fearful about the enemies there. Sometimes we get fearful, don't we? But they went in taking the land and they took it as a possession. And the funny thing about inheritance was it stayed in the family. The land, no matter what. I mean, the land could be mortgaged out, okay? By the owner of the land, the family who owned the land. It could be mortgaged out. But it always had to stay in the family. And what I mean by that, there was called the 50th Jubilee. And basically, there was a cancellation of all debt. We have this sort of like the same, in a bad way, and it's called a stock market crash. But they had a Jubilee. So it was a big celebration, all debts are cancelled, and they had a big party. And that's great. And everything was returned back to its owner. So if you had land that was mortgaged out, and because it's a 50 year, it could be your children that inherit the land back. I really believe in each and every one of your lives there's a Jubilee coming. I declare that over your life today, that there is a jubilee coming, that your inheritance is going to be restored back to you. Your mindset is going to be restored back to you. Your focus and your love of Christ is going to be restored back to you. Because people are looking at the world and, you know, as you, some of you may know, I've come off Facebook now, and I've had a few like personal messages from guys, and they're saying like the world is going mad, you know. And people are looking everywhere for solid ground, but there's only one solid ground, and that's the rock of Christ. It says the storms come to the wise and the foolish, church, but he who builds his house on the rock, that which he has will stand. Are you standing today? Because I believe God wants to restore in your life today. But you have to receive it by faith. You have to step out in faith. And then you have to walk according to who you are. According to who you've been created to be. Because inheritance is about possession. And they were possessing the land. What are you possessing? And what possesses you? Because I want to possess the kingdom of heaven. It says the kingdom of heaven suffers violence and the violent take it by force. But also as well, I want God to possess me. I don't want Satan possessing me. I don't want anything of the evil one in my life. But that takes battle, that takes fighting, that takes suffering. That takes discipline. Just the same with the tap out workout. The first week was so painful. Like really painful. I felt like a seal on a beach that been clubbed. Could hardly move or anything like that. It was just like everything was sore. You know, and when you get in chest pains, you know, and you start having flashes of people who've died at like, you know, 30 years old or whatever like that from heart attack. And you're just like, okay, just a bit easier, a bit easier. But no, God is spurring us on to love and good works. And so, the inheritance mentality. And the difference between the entitlement mentality is entitlement is demanded by works without faith. But inheritance is received by faith and demonstrated through works. And as we read in the book of James, it says, but someone will say, you have faith and I have works. Show me your faith without your works and I'll show you my faith by my works. You can come to church, you can read your Bible, you can do all the right things, you can put the principles in place and everything like that. But faith comes by hearing the word of God and acting upon it. And so, where it says faith without works is dead, it's really saying that we have a choice to make. And if we're going to grow in Christ-like character and maturity, we have to make that decision. We have to make that decision to grow up. Because it's not just about us. It's about the future generations as well. See, I don't know about this. God was just kind of speaking to me about this a little bit. But we look at the generations like the post-war generation. Fought for everything. Fought for their freedom. Fought to live, basically. Their children and their children's children. And then came the baby boomer generation? Is it? I don't know. Unprecedented freedom. That's where we had the sexual revolution, you know, all these different things that came in as well, because the blessing of the freedom that came from post-war was that they could inherit everything that the previous generation fought and died for. But then came the entitlement generation. Because of the blessings of what the older generation received, they thought they're entitled to the same things. But I really believe what Chris was saying today, that God is shifting the church. He's changing it now. That we're going out to fight. to inherit, to take the land. Because we can't sit back anymore and just have it given to us. 3 steps to this, 10 steps to that, but not follow the steps. And then complain because it doesn't work. It works when we activate it by faith. And it's so funny because the prodigal son is a brilliant parable. It talks about the two sons. One of the sons, he demanded his inheritance. He was entitled to it, so he demanded it. And that's unheard of back then. That's basically wishing that the father was dead. He didn't want the father. He just wanted the inheritance. But the other son stayed behind and worked and worked and worked with the father. You know? Worked for the father because he was also after the inheritance as well. Both sons didn't want the father. They wanted what the father had. And that's where the story ends. Because there's one thing about inheritance that we overlook. It's normally we're focused about, and this will really shift you from this kind of entitlement mentality that if I serve God, I'll get this. And if we look in Ephesians chapter 1, verses 16 to 19, so a bit later on, it says, I do not cease to give thanks for you. Paul's praying. I do not cease to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, God's calling, what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. Did you catch that? What are the riches of the glory of his? Who's his? God's inheritance in the saints. And what is the exceeding greatness of his power towards us who believe according to the working of his mighty power? Turn with me quickly to Deuteronomy chapter 32, verse 9. I won't have it up on the screen. I just want to get someone to shout it out. Deuteronomy chapter 32, verse 9. And someone, anyone ready to just shout that out? Come on, be brave. So the Lord's portion is his people, Jacob, the allotment of his inheritance. It's saying there that we as the people of God, we're a royal priesthood, a peculiar people. We are God's inheritance. Okay, someone turn with me to Psalm 33, verse 12. And when you're ready. Didn't we read that earlier, that he chose us, predestined us? His inheritance. We are his inheritance. So it seems that we have an inheritance from God, and we are his inheritance. I married my wife, and it says in the Bible that children are an inheritance from the Lord. And if we read also as well, I think it's in 1 Corinthians, but it talks about, for this reason, a man will leave his wife, a man will leave his mother and father, not his wife. Dave, can we edit that later, please? No, okay. A man will leave his with his mother and his father, and be united with his wife, and the two will become one flesh. Although I speak of a greater mystery, Christ and his church. See, the inheritance that I received being married to Haley was these beautiful children. An inheritance that is a tremendous blessing that received by faith, not knowing what would come out. And beautiful things came out every time. And church, inheritance really means intimacy. See, we think it's about going to heaven. But heaven's only heaven because God is there. And God has chose to come to earth. And he chose you, me, everyone in this room, everyone in the earshot of my voice and on the podcast. He chose you to be his inheritance that he delights in, that he sings over, his bride, the one he's coming back for. And he paid for it as well. He paid the dowry. He paid for us with his own blood. See, you're not trash. You're not refuge. You're his inheritance. And he had to redeem you. When you redeem something, you bring it back to its original value. And he is pleased to dwell in us and with us. And some of you today may think that you're alone and God is out there somewhere. He's right here. But you have to receive it by faith. And you say, well, I don't know how to do that. That's the whole point, isn't it? Because it's not by man's reasoning or man's intellect or women's reasoning and women's intellect. It's not emotional. It's not 10 steps. It's not process. It's by faith. And when we let our guard down and try not to control what our hearts are desperately crying out for God to do in our lives and say, Lord, no, you can have this area, but not that area. He wants all of you. Does that mean that you will automatically be floating 3 foot above the air and glowing? No. There's more to come. But he wants to conquer everything in you and through you and the world around you. Because as it says, you know, the world and all the nations are Christ's. They're his and we are his. And one last verse, I want to take you to Revelation 21. And John's writing this revelation of Christ. And he says, and I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard the great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle or the dwelling of God is with men, and he will rest in his love. He will joy over thee with singing, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. That's the inheritance, guys. Not this. Beautiful as it is, amazing as it is. But I tell you, when we are focused on this all around us, we lose the focus of this glorious calling that you've been called to. Everyone here, you're not here by accident today. God's adorning his bride. He's equipping you. He's empowering you. He's calling you to a greater thing than what you're currently living at the moment. The question is, as I said before, what are you possessing and who is possessing you? Is bitterness and unforgiveness possessing you from past hurts? Is there strongholds of the enemy in your life that are possessing you? Addictions? I can testify firsthand on that. When are we going to grab hold of this thing, church? When are we going to grab hold of this? I want to live another 10 years sitting, hearing the same things all the time. I want to see all of you step into the things that God has called you to, the greater things. The greater things. There's greatness in you. Do you realize that? There's greatness in you. It's right there. It says he's given us a deposit of the Holy Spirit because he's pleased to dwell in men. Jesus made the way that God could dwell with humanity once again. And it's not by might, not by power, but by my Spirit, says the Lord. So I'd like to get the worship team up here, please, if that's okay. And we're going to finish now because I've run out of things to say. Not possible. Hey, man, I've seen a guy like 10 hours a day preaching, so I thought I was bad. But no, I think I've said all I needed to say and what the Holy Spirit wants to say to you today. This is a deep thing. This is not a wide thing. This is not, let's go put this in place. This is a place where you come to God and say, I want this. I want to see breakthrough in my marriage. I want to see breakthrough in my life, in my relationship with you, Lord. First of all, primary thing, I want you, Lord. What I want to do is something a little bit different, okay? So, could you freestyle this? So, they've got this, hey. I firmly believe that this, what was happening earlier was really powerful. And it's not that, you know, we need to replicate that every time or anything like that. I just want to say, each and every one of you, we are so proud of you. We are, no, seriously. Really proud of you. And I know in the midst of all the worry and stress and all these different things and, you know, stuff going on in your own lives, that there is a real desire in your heart to sacrifice yourselves to worship him, to lay yourself at the altar. And guys, can we just pray for the team as they're going to release something now, I really believe. Daniel's looking at me like, I love you. Father, you are glorious. And what is impossible with man is possible with you. And Lord, that we don't want to limit our thinking and our expectation in any way, Lord. Lord, we thank you for these amazing people you've chose to dwell in. These amazing vessels that you use for your glory. And we want to honor what you're doing in their lives. And so, Holy Spirit, we ask that you would release a fresh anointing of grace over their lives. And Lord, in this time of impartation, Lord, we want you to work through them to impart to us. So, Lord, have your way. We want to receive it by faith. And we want to walk according to that faith in Jesus' name. Amen.